Good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may as we worship in this way, in an online service, we pray that you will experience the presence of the Lord in everything that you do today. You might wish to have your Bibles handy, and we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. If we had been meeting together, we'd begin our service by singing a hymn. And the hymn that we've chosen for today is, Be Thou My Vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, naught be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word, I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise, thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Wouldn't that be absolutely wonderful? Thou and thou only, first in my heart, and everything that we do, every second of the day. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we offer praise, honor, and glory unto you this day as we worship you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful gift of salvation, and thank you for dying on the cross to pay for our sin. We know we could never earn our way to heaven. We don't deserve heaven, but you did it all for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Praise you that you are our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Redeemer, our vision. We pray that the meditations of our heart and the words of my mouth will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. As you know, we have been continuing our studies in the book of Revelation. And when we think about it, this study and this series of studies, they are really for those who are serious about in-depth Bible study, to know what the Word of God has to say. We are reminded, not only are we blessed when we read these words or when we hear these words, but also are reminded that God determined that this is what he wanted his people to know. He unveiled this to Jesus. Jesus unveiled it to an angel to John, and John recorded everything for you and for me to read and for people all down through the centuries until the time of his return. Therefore, these words are very important to us. We may not understand them all, but to read them and to try and understand is vitally important, and opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit's interpretation. We are reminded that these words in the book of Revelation were not available to people of the Old Testament. Yes, they had the book of Daniel, they had other prophets that they could read, but nothing was put together quite as succinctly as it is in the book of Revelation. We find this in the New Testament, so all New Testament believers have this information available to them. And we need to be reminded that only God could adequately predict what the future is going to be. So we offer praise unto him for allowing these words to be recorded so that we can read them and study them and make them part of our very life day by day. As we read the scripture this morning, I'd like you to keep four key figures in mind. Four key figures: a woman, a dragon, a male child, and an archangel. A woman, a dragon, a male child, and an archangel. I'd like you to keep these in mind. In fact, if you are in the habit of marking these in your Bible, in the margin of your Bible, you might wish to do that this morning, because by fully understanding this, then we have a greater understanding as to what this passage is all about. We're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. So let us hear the word of God. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled to the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 4 key figures. The first, a woman. And the question we would obviously have is, who is this woman? Or what is this woman? The opening verse says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This woman was dressed in celestial clothing. Now, in order for you and for me to understand who this woman might be, we need to go back into the Old Testament, go back to the time of Joseph. Now, you remember, God chose Abraham. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son by the name of Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob, or Israel, had 12 sons, one of whom was by the name of Joseph. Joseph was a very interesting person. He was a wonderful child. He had a dream, and his dream floored, if I can use that expression, his father and his siblings. What was that dream? He dreamt that he saw himself as a star in the sky with the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. He was the 12th star. This indicated that you're talking about Israel, talking about Jacob, named Israel, and his children, and they were all going to bow down to one of his children by the name of Joseph. And they were really upset by this. And in fact, you know the story of Joseph. The brothers ended up hating him so much that they sold him into slavery. However, as the years went by, we know that this dream came true because Joseph ended up being the second in command in all of the land of Egypt. An absolutely miraculous and wonderful story. But who is this woman clothed in the sun, the moon at her feet, and a crown with 12 stars on her head? There have been numerous interpretations or understandings as to who this woman might be. We can tell you that from what we read in Scripture, this woman is really not a person, but a people, a place, namely Israel. Remember this, Israel is God's ordained, God called, God protected, and God blessed people, even today. And despite the fact that many in the world are against Israel today, God still has a plan for them. And that plan is unfolding even as we speak during this message this morning. This woman is Israel. This woman is not Mary, as some denominations believe. It is not the church, as other denominations believe. This woman is Israel. If we understand that, that makes a great deal of difference in our understanding of this entire passage. Yes, Mary did give birth to Jesus, but in a sense, Israel gave birth to Jesus. Isaiah the prophet said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Who is the us? The us is Israel. You'll notice in verse 6 that this woman flees to the desert, protected 1260 days. 3.5 years, 3.5 years, half of the time of the tribulation. It is Israel that flees from Israel to some place in the desert. Many people believe it'll be Petra in Jordan. Nonetheless, they flee. Mary didn't flee to the desert. The church doesn't flee to the desert because the church is going to be taken up, raptured up, and will be out of here during that time. So the end result is this woman is Israel. The first figure, the woman. The second figure, the dragon. You know that God reached down from heaven and chose Abraham and his descendants, who became the Jews, as his people. His son was born among his people in his nation. Now Satan has had a forever hatred for God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has had a forever hatred for Israel and anything that Israel stands for and anything that comes out of Israel. This hatred, now called anti-Semitism, pardon me, stems all the way back to Satan himself. People may not realize it, nations may not realize it, but whenever they have a hate against Israel or the people of Israel, they are being inspired to do so by Satan. If we go way back to the 14th century, the bubonic plague was alive, active, and well, and killing millions and millions of people. And would you believe that the people of that time blamed Israel, blamed the Jews for this bubonic plague? Well, the truth of the matter was, the people of Israel were not responsible for the plague. It ends up, it seems as though it was transmitted by rats. But nonetheless, the people were blamed. Why were the Jews blamed? Because they were not as ill as others. Not as many people contracted the disease as in Jerusalem, at least for the Israelites, as did the rest of the world. And that's because of their hygiene habits were quite a bit different. And they were an isolated community, and they didn't travel among each other. So therefore, the disease did not spread. Yet the Jews were blamed. And down through history, we discover the Jews have been erroneously blamed for all kinds of things. What do we know about this dragon? He's called a dragon. He's called a great red dragon. There are biblical scholars who believe that he is called red because of the blood that he has caused to be shed over the years. It seems as though he has a lust for the shedding of blood of people. And this began in the Garden of Eden when Cain killed Abel, right from there, all satanically inspired. Note that this dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 is the number of fulfillment or completion. And number 10, in terms of the horns, is a symbol of power, speaks of power. We'll learn more about this dragon at a later time. But you'll also notice in verse 4 that his tail sweeps 1/3 of the stars from heaven. Now, these stars are not the stars of the galaxy, but rather they are fallen angels. And along with Satan, they are being cast out of heaven. They are headed for hell. Now, here's a very important life lesson for us. In Matthew 25, verse 41, we learn that Jesus said that hell was made for the devil, not made for unbelievers, but made for the devil and those that follow the devil or follow Satan. Of course, people in this world, we have a choice. The choice is to accept Jesus as our Savior, and if we do not, then we reject him. And in rejecting Jesus as Savior, then we are, whether we know it or not, accepting Satan. So this place prepared for Satan is also going to be the abode for every person who does not put their trust in Jesus as Savior. The dragon stands in front of Israel, in verse number 5, ready to devour the born child. The mental picture we get is a creature just waiting for its prey. Satan has desired to prevent his birth and destroy Jesus after he was born. You remember how he did this? He did it through King Herod, a very jealous king. And Herod, once he knew that the king of the Jews had been born, had ordered that all male children under the age of 2 be killed. This was Satan's influence over Herod to kill all the baby boys with the intention of getting rid of this male child born to the woman, born in Israel. He did not succeed. Satan could not thwart God's overall plan. And Satan has tried this through many individuals and organizations down through the years. He did it through Pharaoh, through Nebuchadnezzar, through Alexander the Great, through Nero, the Roman Emperor, through the Turks, through the Ottoman Empire, through Russia, through the Arabs, through the Muslims, and of course, go back to World War II, through Hitler and the Holocaust. However, he could not defeat God's plan. Remember this, as we read in verse 10, Satan is the devil, the old serpent, the slanderer, the accuser of believers. The accuser of believers. We are reminded that a reference to this dragon is found in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. In fact, many have said if we didn't have Genesis 3:15, we would not have Genesis 3:16. And in Genesis 3:15, we know that Satan is going to be crushed. His head is going to be crushed. So we see the first reference to Satan in Genesis. We see the last reference to the crushing of his head in the book of Revelation. 4 key figures: the woman, Israel; Satan, or the dragon, meaning Satan. The third key figure is the male child. This male child, in verse number 5, is none other than Jesus. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And Jesus is caught up to be with God. We see that in this scripture. And we know that our Jesus lived and died and was buried and was resurrected and taken up to be in heaven with God the Father until such time as he's given the instruction to come back to earth to establish his kingdom. Jesus will establish his kingdom on earth. It is yet future, not too far away. He's going to establish it, and he will rule with a rod of iron. And another way to word this is, he's going to rule with absolute authority. Now that's when that's when the world will see Jesus as Savior, as Lord, as King, as Wonderful Counselor, as the Mighty God, as the Prince of Peace. During the millennial reign of Jesus, 1,000 years of his reign here on earth. Oh, what a glorious time that will be. And believers everywhere will be part of this millennial kingdom in some way. As I said, this is not too far in the future. As every day goes by, we're getting closer and closer to that trumpet call being sounded and every true believer being taken up to be in glory with Jesus, to be with him while the tribulation is taking place here on earth, while these events that we are talking about this morning are going to be taking place here on earth and in heaven. Just as a matter of overview, someone has said that the Gospels emphasize the birth and the death of Jesus. The epistles emphasize the resurrection of Jesus. The book of Revelation emphasizes the ascension and the return of Jesus. The book of Revelation presents the ascended Christ, the glorified Christ, the Christ who's coming to this earth in all of his magnificence, all of his majesty, and all of his glory. 4 figures: the woman, the dragon, the male child, and now the archangel. There's going to be a war in heaven. It's going to be between Satan and Michael, the archangel. Satan is called the dragon because he is fierce. He's called the serpent because he's ever so subtle. He's called the devil, meaning the accuser. He is called Satan, means adversary. This war is going to cast him out of heaven. Until Revelation 12, Satan has had access to the throne room. He was taken off his lofty position many years, centuries ago, but he still had access to heaven. He went there and goes there to accuse all the saints. He accused the saints. See what that person has done, God? He has not followed you. See what she has done? She's not doing, living up to what she's supposed to be living up to. But praise be to God, we have a divine advocate in heaven, thwarting anything that Satan has to say. And our divine advocate is none other than Jesus the Christ. Michael will cast Satan out of heaven. He'll no longer be there to accuse the believers. Satan is on his way to the bottomless pit. We can review Satan's downward fall by reviewing Isaiah chapter 14. There are what is known as the five I wills. And Satan says, I will do this, I will do that, I will do something else. Then finally he says, I will make myself like the Most High. Those were his most damning words. I will make myself like the Most High. So he was off his lofty position, his lofty mountain, still had access. But now, in Revelation 12, he and one-third of the stars are going to be taken out of heaven and sent to this earth. These one-third stars, these are not stars of the galaxy. These are his angels, his followers. He will have influence along with his demonic angels here on earth during that time, during certainly the last half of the tribulation period. However, we are reminded that this is a step to being cast into the bottomless pit and ultimately to be the deepest part of hell for all eternity. So what's the conclusion of the matter? The conclusion is this, that we have four key figures in this passage. We have the woman who is Israel. We have the dragon who is none other than Satan. We have the male child who is Jesus, and we have the archangel who is Michael. When Satan is on earth, he is going to have such influence through the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will be doing everything in their power to convince the people of the world that he indeed is the Most High, that he indeed is God. And millions of people are going to be fooled. Can't you praise God even now that you know God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that Jesus is your Savior, and you are not going to be fooled by the devil's tricks when the tribulation period comes? He does everything to convince people to completely reject God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You might ask then, so why did God reveal all of this information to us? He has done so for four reasons, maybe many reasons, but at least four. The first is to convict us of our sin so that we can understand that before a holy and righteous God, we are sinners. Only a holy and righteous God can predict all that's going to happen in the future. Secondly, to convince us of a need of a Savior. Thirdly, to communicate that Jesus is the only one who could possibly be our Savior. And then finally, to challenge us, each and every one, to accept Jesus as our Savior if we have not. My prayer is that if you're listening to my voice this day, that you've put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, that you are safe in his arms, and that, in fact, you are looking forward to the time when he's going to return and we will be a part of his kingdom, part of the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, serving King Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and not part of the kingdom of this world. Our Father and our God, we offer praise, honor, and glory unto you. And again, we thank you for your word. We praise you. We thank you for giving us this insight into all that's going to happen in the future. May we each have heard these words and taken to heart, for we pray it in our Savior's name. Amen. And then if we had been meeting together today, we'd be singing as a concluding hymn, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, O for sinners slain, sinners like you and like me. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.